Rod Black will join us here in a moment. Our buddy Rod, we haven't spoken to him in a while, and he's been all over the Raptors beat. He's always a busy guy. Like, Rod's probably one of those guys that is, you know, everyone's having their issues with the pandemic. Everyone's having their issues with the stay-at-home order. But when think of someone that just gets out and is a man amongst the town, I think of Rod Black. Like, he's hosting events. He's at charity events. He's a MC 101. He's the man.
He is the man. There's no doubt about that.
It's just not available to him right now. Because, you know, that's been tough for a lot of charity events. Like, they're going online and they're trying to do it virtually, and hopefully people can support it. And I'm sure they're still getting some support, but you miss out on some really cool events. You know, the last time I saw Rod, we were up at Blue Mountain at a charity event up there. And it's just not going to be available to us this year, but he's still doing his thing. He's one of the few guys who gets in studio. We see him in their studio with Leo all the time, and Kate's in there as well. And it was a tough one last night for the Raptors. They're back in action tomorrow night, back home in Tampa, taking on Miami. Here is our buddy Rod Black. How you doing, Rod?
Hey, good, boys. Isn't that hard to believe, Hazy?
Crazy.
That, like, who would have thought? Here we are. I think we were enjoying a couple of ales up in O'Dogville, up in Collingwood,
yep,
and Blue Mountain, and, you know, I think the world shut down about a week later or something like that.
It really was. It was the end of February, maybe early March. It might have been the first weekend of March we were up there.
It was crazy.
Yep.
I really would like this thing to end, but, you know, thank God for sports in so many ways. Thank God we've had something to take our minds off of this crisis. It certainly pales in comparison to what everybody else is going through, certainly, and there are a lot of people that are suffering, and I think of so many friends that, you know, again, back then we hardly knew anybody who had COVID. Now we know people who have had COVID. We know people who have died of COVID. I think of Warren Woods yesterday, the Regina sportscaster who passed away because he got the virus. So it has been insane, but at the same time, life goes on, and hopefully we'll all get through.
Well, that's right. And, on the Raptors front, it has not been a fun year so far, Rod,
It's strange
that they're in Tampa. They started off 2-8. They had a couple of those games they probably should have had. They let them get away. And then you look at a game like last night, and it brings me back to the Golden State game. It brings me back to the game in Portland where, okay, you're flat. They didn't play well last night. Miami showed up depleted lineup but with a purpose, and they were there to win. If you're 8-5 and you lose a game in that manner, you're like, okay, I can live with it. It happens. What are you going to do? When you start the way the Raptors started, you just can't have it. You can't have games like last night.
No.
It hurts that much more.
No, you watch, and it seems to be a bit of a broken record, if they have records anymore. a skipped digital.
Right.
It seems to be just this fourth quarter, you know, double digit, if you have a lead, teams come back, or if you're in a deficit, that lead gets blown up a little bit. They're really having a tough time finishing. And, you know, you're right. 5-9 is not getting it done. You looked at, you know, the way they were, 2-8 a little while ago, and, yeah, they were able to roll off 3. You know, you looked at going in, no Jimmy Buckets in the game. Goes to show you, on a night-in, night-out basis, anybody can beat anybody. Look at Cleveland last night beating Brooklyn. Who would have thought, you know, as a betting person? So there are strange things. I do think, though, that there are a few positives. And as bad as this has been, you guys, I still think that they aren't that far away from being a decent ball club. But, you know, and when I say decent, I mean certainly a couple of games over 500. I think by early February, if you look at the schedule, if things go according to form and guys start to pick up their games and they play better in the fourth quarter, this team should be at or above 500. I really believe that by the first week of February.
So you think there's the talent there to do that, Roddy? Because I was just about to ask you. You were just mentioning how they just fall up short, or one guy doesn't show up for a quarter. That, to me, is a team that's just not talented enough to get the job done. And that seems to always happen when the team is lacking that talent.
Well, you know, Dog, there's the obvious. I mean, you know, Marc Gasol and Serge Ibaka are missing in the middle, and they miss some real key defense. I mean, their defensive numbers are down. I mean, there is no doubt. They're terrible in the clutch. This was a team that was third in the clutch, you know, last year in the last 3 minutes. This team is near the bottom now. This is a team that was second defensively in the NBA last year. You know, they're way down this year. And so, yeah, they're missing some ingredients, but I still think, you know, guys, based on what we saw in the bubble and how they played, they're still, I mean, again, let's not fool anybody. Are they the Brooklyn Nets, or are they playing like Philadelphia is right now, or Milwaukee? No. But I still don't think they are as bad as some people perceive, especially that record. And, you know, they got the obvious. I mean, Pascal has to play at an all-star level every night. And, you know, frankly, there have been some off nights. Kyle Lowry still does what he does every single night, it seems. They just seem a little bit disconnected, and they're also living off the three-point shot, as the whole league is. And when the three-point shot is dropping, it's beautiful. But when it's not, it's ugly basketball. I mean, even that Dallas game the other night, I'm sitting in studio with Leo, and I'm going, oh, my gosh, this is Clank City. You know, it's not pretty. I'd like to see them, you know, try to take some twos still. I'm a bit of a throwback. I know that you live by the three. A double-digit deficit. There were three trips last night. Just take the two-point shot. Take the easy bunny. Try to get it inside. I mean, Boucher, I mean, is taking three-point shots. That's fine. But, man, he's almost 7 feet tall. Get him inside. Take the two. Cut that. You take three trips, you know, you're down within 4 points. Three straight misses of a three are trying to jack back and get you back. And I know that kind of goes against analytics a little bit. But there's just something about the team that just seems a little disconnected. I don't know if you guys see that right now, but it just, especially in crunch time, and this is a team, by the way, that used to live by that, and they used to succeed by that.
Okay, well, Rod, in light of that, the disconnection, if you're Masai Ujiri, how long do you wait before you start saying, you know what, Kyle Lowry, you know, we got to start looking at what we've got here, his expiring contract, there's a lot of teams that would like a Kyle Lowry, like, how long do you give it?
Well, I always go by, Jonah, I go by the 20-game rule. You know, that in February, if it's a 20 games, that then, you know, as I said, which, you know, if they can get to a 5-1 or a 6-2, you know, they be that near that 20-game mark. That's when you kind of know what kind of team you have. You know, having said that, I think Masai Ujiri, keep in mind, this is a president and general manager that, you know, that makes a lot of decisions. Bobby Webster as well. Still is not under contract himself. So you, Kyle Lowry, there are going to be teams that want Kyle Lowry. And you have to look at it. And I think any general manager would, any president would, any poker player would. But then also, are you a bit of a buyer? You know, there's some bodies out there. There's, you know, people have been talking about Andre Drummond and Marcus Bagley, maybe even a Kyle Korver that could become available. Do you go after them? So I do think by the 20-game mark, you know, they're going to probably make a decision on what they're going to do. Are they going to stay where they are, or are they going to try to reload, or are they going to try to maybe rebuild for next year?
With Rod Black here on Overdrive. So, Rod, as I mentioned, you're one of the lucky ones. You get into the studio, and I know social distancing is a priority and has to happen, but Leo's in there, Kate's in there. You got Sam over Zoom. Occasionally you got Jack involved. So I'm sure, you know, all of you are talking about different storylines around the league, and I have to believe the Brooklyn Nets have come up on a daily basis.
Oh, yeah.
You know, throughout this whole run. And Kyrie makes his return last night in Cleveland, and they lose in double overtime. And the story today immediately is these guys can't defend, which, you know, I get based on what we saw last night. There's a lot of runway here for them.
Did anybody ever think they were?
Well, but that's the whole point. Exactly. Like, yeah. James Harden has never defended. Like,
no.
Durant can defend, and I think he got dragged into it more often than not based on what the Warriors were all about. I'm not sure he wants to do it on a daily basis, especially with his age and coming off the injury he had. And Kyrie Irving, again, the same thing. Like, he's not necessarily a guy who's going to win Defensive Player of the Year, but they're compelling, man. Like, it's something. They're fun to watch, and they're going. I don't see another storyline in the league that's going to match it. Like, the Clippers all of a sudden have run off, I think, 5 in a row. They're sitting atop the Western Conference. No one's talking about it because Brooklyn's taking up all the oxygen.
Yeah, it goes to show you, Brian, you know, that big three thing that we've talked about over the years, that thing really works, by the way.
Yeah,
you know,
it sells.
It really did. It was the big two. I remember when it was two guys, you know, dynamic duo, you know, Jordan Pippen, you know, Shaq, Kobe. Yeah. Well, then, you know, Boston changed that. Teams have changed that. Miami changed that. Brooklyn's changed that. The Clippers have changed that. Everybody's changed that. You need three. And it's not even – people talk about positions like, oh, you're really good at the one. You got to go one or two or – there's no, it's a positionless game now. There's no real numbers, you know, beyond having a big guy. You can all sometimes have five different players out there. And I think the Nets, They have the most unstoppable force, offensive force in basketball. That's Kevin Durant. I think that's, you know, that's undeniable. And he's playing at a very high level considering the injury. You got James Harden, who is the most unique player, I think, in the history of the NBA, the way he plays. He's like some baller off of Venice Beach who just give me the ball and I'm going to go. And, you know, and you got Kyrie Irving, who also got great handles and is dynamic. You have three superstars. The issue is how much basketball. I mean, they all, like, you go to double overtime and they all got 40, near 40 last night, but you have to go to double overtime to get that. So they're going to find their way. I still think at the end of the year, you know, at the end of this season, Brooklyn will, you know, be a, maybe one of the most unstoppable forces there are. But right now it's going to take a while to find a way to get a groove, find a way to get rhythm. I think the Raptors are having trouble with that. I think everybody's having trouble with that for the most part. Keep in mind, these are teams, you guys, that you know, only had a couple months off. Some of them had 5 or 6 months off. I credit Golden State their record, but you know, I look at the standings, and you know, there are some you know, glitches, you know, some blips on this. Like, you look at the Raptors. Who would ever thought that the Raptors would be behind the New York Knicks? The Knicks.
Cleveland, Atlanta, they're chasing all the teams.
Knicks are for real this year, Roddy.
But, you know, if that was the Knicks, if that was Stephen A. Smith. But I do think that the 20-game mark, you are going to see what you are going to see by the playoffs. I really do believe that. And the Brooklyn Nets, barring injury or barring Kyrie Irving going off in some tangent, they are going to be a very, very good team.
Yep, I have to concur with you on that one, Rod. It's always great to catch up with you, buddy. Continued, you know, success and safety and health and all that good stuff. And we'll see you again soon.
I know. I'm seeing people in person. I mean, it's been a year since I shook somebody's hand in Hazy. I think it was yours.
I know. Me too. I mean, and it was grubby. It was grubby. It was slimy. It was sweaty.
I think it smelled of tequila at the time. But that's
yeah,
okay.
That's right. We love that little pub right at the bottom of the hill.
I miss the bunny hill,
I believe.
I miss skiing. I went out for a ski. How about these idiots in the city who salted ice rinks? You hear that story?
There's a long list of nonsense, Roddy. But
oh my gosh, we need people to get outside, safe distance, and still be active. That's stupid.
That's the most stupid thing
I've ever heard of.
You're absolutely right.
Me and Hazy are going to start jogging next week, Roddy.
Yep. I'll join you guys.
All right, buddy.
But virtually.
Exactly. We'll get you over Zoom. All right, pal. Thank you for this.
It's always great talking to you. Stay safe.
Yep, you too. There he is, Rod Black. Yeah, the last time I saw Rod would have been in a bar at the bottom of the hill in Blue Mountain. You know that scene better than anybody. Oh, it is
Rusty's. Were you at Rusty's?
I think that's exactly where we were. And there's a vibe in there, man. It was at the end of the day. The sun was going down.
There is a thirst level when you're done skiing. It trumps ending hockey.
More than anything else. I totally agree with you. And I'm not a skier. I've done it a few times.
People take that après ski more seriously than I could have ever imagined.
Yep. Because it's a full day event. You know, skiing, like, you got to get there early.
Skiing is wrapped up at 2:15-ish. People are done with it. They throw their skis on the ground, and they say, where's the booze?
Right, and you get nestled in there. And you know why I think it's such a great scene?
Why?
Because nobody cares about their appearance. Everyone's just bundled up. They've been wearing toques the whole day. Their hair's a mess. Their face is all red. Or, you know, it's just like, who cares? Just order pints and sit down and just relax.
I think I got a different impression of it. I think people just kick back. I'm along at a private ski hill, and people just say, it's a beautiful day, I'm rich, and I just skied, and I'm enjoying myself.
That could be the case, too, but I don't know. Maybe mine's a little bit deeper.
I don't know.
Yours is a little bit more shallow. It makes a lot of sense, but my take is a little bit deeper. I just
see people sitting back and they're just loving their life.
They are, but you know what I'm saying about appearances in a bar, you know, at the bottom of a ski.
Dude, these people are the richest people in the universe. They don't care what they look like. Hair's a mess.
But that's it.
Not running down your face.
Yeah, you got a turtleneck on. You're just a disaster, and you're like, whatever, drinking pints. Where you go to another bar a few hours later, and it's like, okay, well, we got to go back and shower and get dressed and look appropriate or whatever. It's just grit grinder central. Who cares? We're all in here. We all did our thing. We've been exercising. It's the winter. We probably haven't been outside in 3 weeks. Go time.